Good stuff. Good stuff. And it is exciting, the things that are happening here at Crosspoint. Come on, everybody. Appreciate everybody that's especially leading in these areas. Appreciate especially Pastor Steve Guptill. Come on, give it up for Pastor Steve, our small groups pastor, doing a phenomenal job, as he always does, entering into our 13th semester now, and so of small groups here at Crosspoint. So I really encourage you to engage in our small group showcase, our kickoff today there in the lobby. It's going to be an awesome time. I want to jump right into part four of our series, Be Strong. And hope you're enjoying this. I just talked with somebody, said I was here last week. I had to come back today for the next part. And so that's the way it's supposed to work. In fact, if you missed any of these, be sure and go online. And those messages are there archived. You can find the message notes there and catch anything that you missed. And for those of you that are watching online, you can download those notes. They're available on our website as well. And you can follow on with today's message as well. And by the way, just glad to have those that are with us online. Aren't you thankful for those that are part of our online campus? And yeah, we are now, for those of you that may not be aware of it, we are now broadcasting our entire service. And that was by popular demand, that people wanted our entire service. So we've had people being with us this whole service. So we're glad you're here with us. I want to give a shout out to my folks today. They told me they were not going to be able to attend their church in Orlando, Florida. So I said, well, you can attend Crosspoint today. So, Mom, Dad, glad to have you with us today. All right, give it up for them. So along with many others in other states that are with us weekly on a regular basis, so honored, really. We're so honored to have you a part of this experience. I want to jump right in again to this installment and unpack this one, because I think this is really going to be a key to the other three that we've been through. But let me begin with, and there you can look in your worship guide, follow on with your message notes. Let's begin with our scripture that's found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7 that says, be strong. And that's what we want to do this year. In 2018, we don't want to begin weak and half-heartedly and meandering and bumping off of walls and, you know, and just kind of drama to drama. No, we want to be strong as God has instructed us to be. We're going to start strong. I believe we can finish strong as well. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. These were instructions that God had given to Joshua as he was about to take the nation of Israel into possess the land after Moses had died. And then he says, now be careful to obey all the law that you may be successful wherever you go. Paul has a parallel verse to this that's found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 that says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's something we're going to talk about today, about how we're strong in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians says this in chapter 5. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, look at this, spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three areas really speak to how we're made up. We are a triune being, actually. We are three parts to us. We are made up of soul, spirit, and body. And we addressed each of those in the last 3 weeks. Part one was soul. Or spirit, part one, part two was soul. And last week we talked about what it means to be strong in body. If you missed any of those, again, go back and catch those. And then it says to be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how it finishes this up. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That's key, because you can't do it in and of yourself. It's going to take the Lord. And so that is extremely important. Let me give you a scripture of that 1 Thessalonians there. Chapter 5 that's found in the Living Bible puts it this way, and may your spirit and soul and body be, look at this, kept strong. I love that, the way it words that. That's what we're talking about. Be kept strong and blameless until that day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. So today we're talking about how we can be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? I love the scripture that's found in Isaiah. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today, okay, everybody? Just going to feed you real good. I said, God, if you'll send them, I'll feed them, okay? We're going to feed you some good word. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, and also in verse 31, it says this, he gives power to the weak and strength to the power. So that's what God does. We're not strong in and of ourselves. So we can never, we got to get this right. It's not that we say, oh, I'm just going to be strong. I'm just going to man up or woman up or whatever. No, it's not in our own strength. It's actually in the strength of the Lord. And that strength comes from the Lord. It goes on to say, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Now, different translations take that word trust and they'll say those that wait upon the Lord or they that hope in the Lord. This is the New Living Translation that says those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. When I looked at that word new, what that word new really means, it's also in the Hebrew, it means changed. Changed strength. So it's not a strength that's going to be like what you've had before. It's not a strength that you can conjure up yourself. It's a changed strength. God's going to give you a supernatural strength. And not only that, that goes on to say, explain it, they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. So the Lord gives that new strength. And how does he do that? Well, that scripture there in one translation says, they that wait upon the Lord and shall renew their strength. Well, Jesus actually told his disciples when he came that we are to wait on something. He said when he was leaving this earth, and you know when a person gives their last words, those are usually pretty important, right? And some of his last words were, you need to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high, because you can't do what I'm calling you to do by yourself. The feat, the task before you is too great for you to just go out there and think you can do it alone. You'll get beat up, all right? And the devil is no match for God, but he is a match for you and I, okay? He'll make mincemeat out of us. But when we go in the strength of the Lord, then he cannot touch us, right? Amen? Because greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And Jesus knew this and said, you need to wait for something. And here's what he said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there's a power that's going to come, and the purpose of that power is not just for you to feel good and have a good time, and it's wonderful to have the affirmation of the Holy Spirit, but the purpose of it is that we are witnesses for him, that there is a calling, that there is a purpose God's called us to do. And really that purpose, let's just get right down to it, is to go find God's lost kids. Amen? And to bring them into this saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so he breaks it down to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. For us, that would be Charlotte, North Carolina, the nation and the world. Okay? That's really what he's saying there. God's called us to make a difference, and we're going to need this power. And this spirit that comes to us, in fact, I love the scripture in Zechariah 4 and 6 that says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's the spirit's power. Okay? It's not your power, but it's the spirit's power that he gives us. And this power, it's described in 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7. It's not there in your notes, but I wanted to give you this. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. One translation says a sound mind. I like that one. Sound mind. I just need a sanity in today's world. Amen. And the Spirit of God comes and he brings that. So when everything's going crazy around us, there's a spirit. When there's fear going all around us, there's a spirit of power and of love. And there's this powerful thing about the Holy Spirit is love, isn't it? I mean, the saving grace of God, the power of his salvation is the greatest thing that he gives us. The power that the Holy Spirit draws us to come and even know who Jesus Christ is and convict us and let us know, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Here's the way of life. And the power that comes and saves us for eternity, that's powerful. Amen? So so it's power and love and self-discipline. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he wanted them to be strong as they went forth, and he authorized them. He gave them power and sent them out, right, to make a difference. And they came back, and they were amazed. They said, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, well, that's no big deal, really, because I was there, and I saw Satan fall. Look at Luke chapter 10 here, and again, this is not in your notes. This is some extra here. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That was nothing. It wasn't a long, drawn-out fight like Star Wars, okay? It was just in a moment. God spoke, boom, you're gone. You're out of here. You know, poof, you're out. And he saw him fall, and he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And then I love this. He says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven, because that's the real power. Amen? That we're redeemed. That's what it's all about. So God wants us to have this power, this strengthening in our spirit. Amen? And so I want us to, there in your notes, write this down. Here's what we need when we talk about strength. We need power, not just words. We need power, not just words. A debate never saved anybody. Now, a spirit behind those words, where the Holy Spirit takes those words and goes beyond the hearing of the ear and enters into the heart of a person, that's what brings forth life. And that's power. And that takes God. Not, that's more than our words. That's power. And I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I came to you in weakness and fear. And that's us. That's humanity. That's what we bring to the table, right? And with much trembling. But then he says this, my message and my preaching were not just wise, and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Power, that's what we need. And then he says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And that's what we need. In other words, what men offers, men's wisdom, men's words, is not enough. Can I tell you here at Cross Point, the worship today was awesome, but it's not enough. The preaching, well, I don't know if you call that awesome, but the preaching's there, okay? But it's not enough. I know it's not enough. All right? Everything we do, it's not enough. What we need is the Spirit's power. Amen? And it's His. We used to sing a song, The Anointing Makes the Difference. And that anointing is talking about, it represents the Spirit of God. It's Him that makes the difference when He gets in the mix. So we need, listen, we need a power, not just words. Write this one down. Secondly, we need experience, not just explanation. So somebody doesn't just need an intellectual conversation with us. Actually, they need to encounter and have their own experience. And it's one thing to talk about somebody else's experience, but you need your own experience, right? There was a man that was healed of blindness in the Bible, and when he was healed, the authorities, the religious leaders, wanted to know how it happened, and the man was trying to tell him it was Jesus, trying to tell him the man that healed him. And they felt like they were being lectured to by this man. They kept questioning over and over. And so finally, look with me in John chapter 9. They turned to the man and said, what do you say about him? And I love his response. He, after much debate, I mean, he said he's a prophet, and they didn't like that answer. And finally he said, look, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I mean, you can't argue with a person who's had an experience. We used to say, you came too late to tell me. Right? You came too late to tell me God doesn't heal. I've already seen God heal a woman that was blind that I used to walk into the church and I saw, and now she sees. Okay, you've come too late to tell me because I've already experienced His healing myself personally. Okay? So we need an experience, not just an explanation. Let me give you a third one. We need presence, not just practice. So this thing is boring and dry and gets old and stale real quick. When it's just a practice, it becomes a religion and a formality. But what we need is His presence. Acts 2:28 says, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Can I tell you, it's in His presence that power will come. Power will come through presence. And so we know that it's not in and of ourselves, it's in Jesus. So we are talking about being strong in the Lord. What does that look like and what does that mean? So we were saying, Pastor Oak, I understand I need the Holy Spirit, but what do I do? And we know it's dependent not upon us, but it's dependent upon His power and His presence and His Spirit. But yet, what do we do to position ourselves? Okay, there are things that we can do to position ourselves and put ourselves in a place. I'll often say it's not about our ability, as someone said. It's about our availability. It's about us getting into His presence. It's about us positioning ourselves. God is ready, always ready, ready and willing to pour into our life, but we must position ourselves into a place where God can begin to move into our life. And so I want to talk to you about a few practical things that I believe will help us become strong in the Lord. John Maxwell presents what he calls the rule of five. The rule of five is this. If you had a tree in your backyard and you wanted to cut that tree down. And every day you went out to that tree and you took an axe and you just took five swings at that tree. You know, one, two, three, four, five. And you drop the axe down and you go back inside. And the next day you come out and you do five more chops. One, two, three, four, five. And then the next day and the next day. You know what eventually is going to happen? That tree is going to come down. And so it's a principle about what we can do every day. Everybody say every day. Every day. We're on day 22 of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, right? Okay, and many of you are going to eat today. Maybe you already eaten last night. That's fine. But what we learned, and the reason you do 21 days, it takes 21 days to establish a new habit, right, and change some things. And so, but we don't want everything to die now. In fact, we were warned yesterday in a phenomenal conclusion of our 21 days by Pastor Chris Hodges about how it was Satan that came to Jesus at the end of his fasting, right, where he was tempted. So be aware and be cautious of that. What you want to do is maintain that spiritual man, that inner man inside of you, so that he becomes strong and throughout the year and handles all those other two areas of the soul and the body, right? And then your life's you're gonna have the best year of your life, amen. If you have the best year of your life spiritually, you're gonna have the best year of your life. And so, how do we do that? How do we do that? So, let me give you some things that as we're talking about this, that I think will be something very practical you can use. Number one, be intentional. This is extra. Just write this down. Be intentional. Be intentional. So, you know, not just I'm going to wake up every day and I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing. I don't have a plan. You know, but be intentional about following the Lord and about getting in His presence. Number two, be practical. Be practical. So, in other words, every day I'm going to get out. I'm going to take that axe. I'm going to hit the tree, and then I'm going to be practical. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to make sure that happens every day. And then I'm going to be practical. So you don't take a baseball bat out and hit the thing, okay? That's going to wear you out, okay? You're going to find an axe. You're going to be practical. You're going to do those things that work. And then number three, be consistent every day, every day. Be consistent. Be consistent. And number four, expect results. When you do these things, when you do these four things, you're intentional, you're practical, you're consistent, it's going to render some results. And I don't know about you, but I want to see some results in 2018. Anybody with me? I want to see some results. Amen. So for me, you may have your own list of five, and I'm going to give you some I think we can use as a church to keep ourselves strong. Now, for me personally, I'm gleaning this, but I think it works in my life as well, and that is that I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to pray every day. First thing I do every day, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to wake up and say good morning. Here's the way I get up. I get up, my knees are the first thing to hit the bed, right? You can call that rolling out of bed if you want to, but I call it, you know, I slide out of bed and my knees hit. First thing I say is, God, help me get to the bathroom. Yeah, no, because I want to crawl back into bed. No, but seriously, every day, I pray, and then I'm going to get in the Word every day. Before I look at anything else, what I do, I take my phone, and that's the first thing I do. I make sure I go to the Bible app before I go to my emails, to my texts, to the weather, to the maps, how to get to work, around traffic. I go to YouVersion, and I look at the verse of the day, and then I go from there, and get your reading plan. It probably take 15 minutes. Every day, to read through the Bible. And then I'm going to love those closest to me. That's my wife. That's my family. That's the team here. I need to get close to them and spend time with them. And then I want to make a difference in somebody's life. So every day I want to, even if it's just texting somebody, I want to every day make a difference, sowing into somebody's life. And then the last thing I'm going to do, my fifth thing, is I'm going to take care of myself, because if I can't take care of myself, I'm not going to do a good job of taking care of you, right? So I'm going to take care of myself. So those don't have to be yours, but I'm just sharing with you some ideas there. But here's the goal, is that when we attend to the spirit man and every day we're consistent and we follow this everyday principles, that we're going to become strong, that the Spirit's going to be able to begin to operate in our life. Because a lot of times we take charge. We say, okay, we just established the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit. And we're establishing Him, that it's His power. But many times we operate in our own power. We take back the reins. We begin to take control ourselves. And the Holy Spirit's over here saying, I want to be involved in this. I want you to operate in me and not in yourself. We find Jesus knocking at the door of the church saying, can I come back in? Come on. So how do we position ourselves where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to be in charge of our life? We're operating in the Holy Spirit. This verse is a favorite verse of mine that's found in Matthew 6:33, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. All these other things are going to chase you down. But we got to put him first. So let me give you five things that I think will help us. Let me get you to write these down. Number one, there in your blank, acknowledge and thank God. Gratitude changes everything when you've got a spirit of gratitude. David said it this way. David said, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day, look at that. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. So every day when we get up in the morning, we're going to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. How may we serve the Father today? Holy Spirit, we worship the name of Jesus. We worship you, Almighty God. And when we worship you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day. And begin with an attitude of thankfulness. And it really is an attitude of gratitude, as they say. Come on. And we need to have, you can be thankful. The Bible says that we're supposed to give thanks in everything, in every situation. There's a story, actually, of an African king who had a friend who had such an attitude. And everything that would happen, he would say, this is good, this is good. And so one day the king took his friend and they went hunting. And as they went hunting, something went wrong with the king's gun and it blew the king's thumb off. And the friend, as he always does, said, this is good. And the king's like, this is not good. And he got so angry with the guy, with his friend, he threw him in prison. So about a year later, the king goes out and he's hunting by himself and he runs into a group of cannibals who captured him, and they tied him to a stake, and they were ready to take his life. And they looked, and they saw that he had a thumb missing, and them being superstitious as they are, they decided they didn't want to eat him, and they let him go. And the king was so grateful, and as he looked at his thumb, he remembered his friend in prison, and he said, oh, I feel so bad. It was a good thing. And so he went to the prison and he apologized to his friend and he got his friend out. And he said, I'm so sorry that you were put in prison for a year. And his friend said, it's a good thing. And he's like, he said, this is good. This is good. And he said, how can this be good that you were in prison for a year? He said, because if I wasn't in prison, I'd have been with you. Listen, there's a secret to having everything, and that's believing that you do have everything. Come on. That you got all that you need. It's not always wanting more and more and more. It's being thankful and grateful for what you do have. Number two, write this one down. We're going to acknowledge and thank God every day. And every day I'm going to talk to God. And that blank is talk to God instead of prayer. Because, you know, when we put prayer, sometimes we misinterpret what that is. And what that is simply talking to God. You know, in the Bible Belt, we think talking to God means that we got to all of a sudden become English, you know, like God was from England. You know, oh, thou wast God, knowest all things, and thou art, you know, no. You don't have to be, you don't have to be all that. Just talk to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is simply a conversation. Look at Psalm 68:19. David said, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily, come on, you're going to find this in every verse I'm giving you, who daily bears our burdens. He cares for us. So listen, prayer is weakness depending on omnipotence. Prayer is, let me put it this way, prayer is weakness leaning on omnipotence, his all-powerfulness, right? He's all-powerful, and we're leaning on him. That's what prayer is. Let me give you some practicals with that. These are extras, not in your notes. Some of you may have this already in your life. But I think these will help you. When you pray, have a certain place. I mean, have a calendar, have an appointment, have a certain, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. Have a certain time. Have a certain time. Have a calendar. Have an appointment. Psalm 5 and 3, David says, in the morning. He had an in the morning time. That's a good time before you get busy in your day. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Every morning, that's what we're going to do, okay, or whatever that time is for you, but have a certain time. Make an appointment with God and keep it. Number two, a certain place. A certain place that you go. It may be a closet. It may be literally a closet. Some of you call it a prayer closet. It may be a literal closet. It may be a car. It may be a walk through the woods. I don't know. But have a place where that's your place to spend with the Lord. Jesus modeled this very early in the morning. It says, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He had a place. And then have a certain plan, a certain plan. So, and if you attended the prayer service yesterday, what a great plan was laid out, modeling the tabernacle prayer for a model for prayer. Jesus gave a prayer that's found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1, 2 through 4. And he said to them, when you pray, so have a plan, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. So there was a pattern there in that. It wasn't just he was praying randomly. There's a pattern to that prayer if you study that. So get a plan. In fact, if you looked at the 21 days, and some of you, I don't know how many connected online with the 21 days of prayer and fasting and the live services that we had broadcast, but those have in the past had been, by the way, been archived every, for 24 hours, every service would be archived, and you could look at it anytime throughout your day. I was so encouraged yesterday to hear that these services are going to be archived for the next year. And so you can go on, and if you need a model prayer, or if you need something to help guide you through a time of prayer, you can go online and you can connect with that and follow through that. But have a plan, okay? Have a plan. Number three, as we move on, look there in your notes. Third thing of your principle of five here is this: read and submit to God's word. So in this rule of five, number three, read and submit to God's word. You know, today you hear a lot about how do you interpret that scripture? How do you interpret that word? Let me tell you something. What we need to do is read it and submit to it. In other words, don't interpret God's word through your lens of morality, but interpret your morality through the lens of God's word. Okay? I got a clap back there by somebody. I think anybody else want to join in on that? I mean, really, when I get up in the morning and I look at a mirror, I don't say, man, I'm just going to have to fix that mirror. In fact, I do make a joke sometimes. I go into the restroom at work and I if there's a guy beside me and looking in the mirror and I look at the mirror and I say, who is that? How did he get so old? That's what I say. But I don't try to fix the mirror. I got to fix me, right? I got to do something. So the word is the same way. It is a mirror, and it reflects who we are. Amen? And so when we get the word every day, we look at it, and we say, oh, Lord, how do I, oh, God, I don't know how to, but Lord, help me. Help me to change. And by your Spirit's power, you're able to help me change, okay? So that's what we do. We submit to his word. Isaiah, let me give you this scripture. It's not found in your notes. Says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Can a good amen right there? Okay. Joshua 1 and 8. And this is really what this series is all about. It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Look at this. Day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Day and night, we're going to focus on his word. And then it says, then you will be prosperous and successful. And by the way, that's a promise. That's a guarantee that you're going to be prosperous and successful when you do this. Look at this. Every day. You not only read it, but you follow it. We don't just accept Christ. Believing in Christ is just part of it. It's following Christ. That's what Christianity is about. And people have bought into Christianity thinking it's just a belief system. Listen, it's not just a belief system. It's a following Christ. Amen? It's a submitting to Him and following Him. When you do, I'm going to tell you, life works a lot better for you. Life is good. So follow Him fully, and then your life's going to be successful. Let me give you this one. Psalm 1 says this: blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, what does it say? Day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Amen. So get you the U version. Get into a reading plan and read the Bible every day. Number four. And by the way, that doesn't have to be 5 hours of theological in-depth researching, studying from cover to cover. Okay. What we're talking about is, what did we say? Keep it practical. Be consistent. Something you can do every day, right? Every day. My wife, she went through this process of changing her diet, and she lost a lot of weight in the process, got healthier in the process. And she said, one of the things I did not want to do, I did not want to buy into something where I was dependent on a product that I had to keep purchasing forever and ever. And if you sell a product, I'm not putting down your product. But she said, I want to do something that I know I can maintain, that it will be a new lifestyle, something realistic and practical. I'm saying that about the scripture. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 15 minutes, whatever that looks like for you, but do grab something hold. And that doesn't mean you can't have longer sessions of in-depth Bible study, but I'm talking about what you do every day. Be consistent with that and getting God's word every day. Number four, this one's huge today. Maintain meaningful relationships. You say, I'm just going to do this just me and Jesus. Guess what? You and Jesus need more than just you and Jesus, okay? I'm just telling you, because Jesus, this was his plan. His plan was to get you in a relationship with other people. That's the way that Jesus is going to grow his strength in your life, is by you getting into meaningful relationships. His plan is that. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but encourage one another. Look at this. Everybody say it. Daily, as long as it is called today. is today called today? Okay, it's today. And so today, right, encourage somebody today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So every day, get into a meaningful relationship. So around here, that's what we do. We do small groups. Now you say, wait a minute, I got you, Pastor. You're talking about daily and small groups or once a week. No, you don't have me either, because small groups aren't a meeting. Small groups have a meeting, but small groups are a relationship. Amen, Pastor Steve, right? Amen. Small groups are a relationship. They're not just a meeting. And so, my family is not a dinner, okay? We have dinner, but we're not a dinner. You know what I'm saying? Am I making sense here? Right? I'm a dad this morning. I'm not sitting right next to my family, okay? I'm up on the stage, but I'm still a dad. Okay, small groups, we meet, but it's more than just a meeting. It's relationships. And so today we've got an opportunity for you to get in relationship with somebody. Again, it's not about the curriculum. I'm going to say this until you get it. It's not about the curriculum. Curriculum's good. But the curriculum is just so you can get in relationship with somebody so the mask can come off and you can get some help and begin to grow and get strengthened. Amen? That's the goal. Get in relationship, right? And I'm not talking, in case you're new to Crosspoint, I'm not talking about getting in the middle of a circle telling all your business. That's not what we're talking about. I hate that. Don't you hate that? Tell me about something about yourself. No, I don't want to. You know, tell me your weakness. I don't want to right now. But you find somebody that you can get close up to that you can get a relationship with, you'll be able to share that, and you'll be able to help one another. Come on, right? So today's the day, y'all. Today's the day, our small group launch. Get into a small group today. Your life is going to change. We are not a church with small groups. We are a church of small groups. Amen. Number five, surrender my life to God. You're never going to be strong or strong enough in and of yourself. It requires you surrendering your life to God. Colossians chapter 3 says this, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then it gives us this, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're talking about being strong in the Lord. How are we doing that? Because it's not in our strength. It's not our righteousness. It's not up to, it's Him. It's in Him. He has done everything for us. He's covered us with His precious blood. We are now complete. We stand whole before His Father in heaven. Come on. It is all in Him. And our life, listen, that old life died. That's not who we are. That's who society, the world, the environment, everything else, your neighborhood, everything told you you were. That's your past, your failures. That's not who you are. Who you are now is you're redeemed of the Lord. You now stand complete in Him. Come on, everybody. He's raised you from the dead. You have a new life. It's called being born again. It's a do-over. It's a do-over. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God, in God. But then notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. He says, I die every day, every day. So what does that look like? Every day. Well, he was still alive. It doesn't mean you go out and kill yourself. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about every day I'm going to surrender to God. Look, every day, what are we going to do? Every day I'm going to acknowledge and thank God. Every day I'm going to talk to God. Every day I'm going to read and submit to His Word. Every day I'm going to maintain meaningful relationships. Every day I'm going to surrender my life to God. And then Jesus says this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and He said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. Look, daily, and follow Me. You know what the Bible says? If you try to find your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life, you're going to find it. And so today, we want to be intentional. We know it depends on the Holy Spirit coming into our life and taking control and allowing Jesus to come in and be the Lord of all. But it also requires our participation in that. Intentionally making a step towards Him, intentionally making a decision, I'm going to follow Christ, intentionally saying this year, I'm going to be strong in spirit, I'm going to be strong in my soul, I'm going to be strong in body, and most importantly, the key to it all is I'm going to be strong in the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the strength of Your Word and the strength of Your Holy Spirit. And God, we know that when You do a work, You use three things. You use Your Word, Your Spirit, and the person. And of those three, the Word and the Spirit are always consistent. The variable is always us. It's the person. But Lord, we pray that by Your Word and by Your Spirit that we would be strengthened and that we would be a strong, worthy, by Your blood, worthy, holy vessel, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work to do what You've called us to do. Lord, I pray You'd strengthen us. Strengthen us. My heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. I want to just pray for those that you need to do this last point, which is surrender your life to Christ. I want to tell you, I don't know what your life looks like, but if it's not surrendered to Christ, telling you have no idea how great your life could be when you do that. Now, it doesn't mean everything is going to be perfect, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a peace and a joy and a strength. It's going to cause you to stand when everything else around you is falling apart. And that's you today. You say, Pastor, I know that I need to make this step today. I need to be intentional. I need to make that step and surrender to Christ. I want to help lead you in a prayer today, right where you're seated. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I just want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you and invite you to pray along with us if you need to pray this kind of prayer. But you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. When you pray that prayer, when you lead that prayer, would you count me in? My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to ask you to just slip up a hand very quickly, boldly, be strong, be bold. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes. Good job. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Proud of you. Good job. Good job. Hands are going up all over the place. Come on, just mean it from your heart. Let me just help you with the words, but let me just lead you in this. And it may just be some area that's just not fully surrendered. Come on, this is the time to surrender that and let Jesus be the Lord of all. Just pray this prayer. I'd like to invite everybody to pray this out loud for support of those that need to pray it. Would you help me? Come on. Just say, Jesus, today I take a step. I take a step of faith, believing in you, that you're able to take care of everything in my life. I thank you that you took care of everything on the cross when you died for me. You paid for everything. Everything I have need of is provided through your sacrifice. So today, by faith, I accept you. I accept what you've done for me. I turn from my way to follow you. I invite you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Strengthen me. Forgive me of my sins and my failures. Lead me in the right way. I'm going to say this. I give you my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. Father, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer in a minute and you've invited you into their heart. And now today, this very moment, the past is gone. In this very moment, the weak is made strong. In this very moment, we have moved from darkness to light. In this very moment, oh God, you have given us victory over every area in our life as we day by day follow you now. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen every step taken, every day forward. God, may it be better than the day before. God, may they experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Strengthen them, mind, soul, and body, I pray. God, strengthen them in their life, oh God. God, raise them up. Oh, Lord, I pray to make a difference in this world. Lord, and I thank you for the difference you've made in their life. And I thank you for this church and the difference you're making in us and through us. So, Lord, as a church, we pray, strengthen us. God, I pray this year, oh, Lord, now that we are strengthened in you and we're strengthened, God, when we follow your word. Because your word tells us that when we have a confidence when we follow your word. We have a confidence, Lord, when we do those things that are pleasing your sight. So as we follow you and we're confident in who you are, God, and your work in our life, Lord, I pray that you would use us, God, to make a difference in 2018. God, I pray that this year, Lord, that we'll pray some bold prayers. That this year, God, we'll make some bold steps, oh God. And this year we'll be intentional every day, oh God, to live this thing out and to follow Christ, oh Lord God. And through us, God, we pray that this world, God, beginning in our closest sphere of influence, Lord, and spreading out from there, God, that we'll see an eternal difference. God, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give him praise. Come on, everybody. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank God for changed lives. Amen. Amen.